I won't be in my way. Good morning. Last Sunday before Christmas, the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her. "For God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked the angel, "How can I have a baby? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true." And then the angel left. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to a town there where Zechariah lived. And she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she gave a glad cry, and she exclaimed, "Mary, you are blessed by God above all other women, and your child is blessed. What an honor this is, that the mother of my Lord would visit me. When you came in and greeted me, my baby jumped for joy the instant I heard your voice. You are blessed because you have believed that the Lord would do what he said." And Mary responded, "Oh, how I praise the Lord, how I rejoice in God my Savior, for he took notice of this lowly girl, and now generation after generation will call me blessed. For he, the mighty one, is holy, and he has done great things for me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm does tremendous things. How he scatters the proud and haughty ones. He has taken princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. And how he has helped his servant Israel. He has not forgotten his promise to be merciful, for he promised our ancestors, Abraham and his children, to be merciful to them forever." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18, "Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. And while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. And as he considered this, he fell asleep. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And all of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet, 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Since it's the Sunday before Christmas, I wanted us to consider the Christmas story this morning. And I read that in every version I could get my hands on in the last month or so. And every time I read it, it just became so profound to me what an immeasurable effect these two people had on our lives. And not just on our lives, but generations upon generations upon generations. Mary and Joseph. We almost take them for granted. They're people in a story that we read at Christmas. But they had such a profound effect on us. And as I began to think about that, about Mary and Joseph, immediately a question came to my mind. And I don't know that I'd ever thought about it before. But the question was, why did God choose Mary and Joseph? Out of all the people in the world at that time, why Mary and why Joseph? She certainly wasn't the only virgin in the land. There were others. And so unfortunately, as is my habit, my imagination began to take hold. And I began to just imagine, you know, there was a time in the councils of heaven, when the Trinity sat down together and they began to discuss how they were going to bring about salvation for the land, because certainly man needed salvation. And in my imagination, I could see the three of them, the Father, the Spirit, and the Logos, the living Word, sitting around in a council, just sort of discussing the different ways that they might accomplish what they wanted to accomplish in the land. And I realized they had to have had a criterion that they discussed, that they agreed upon. They would have probably all had their own input. In my imagination, I wondered if maybe Father God would have said, well, these two people definitely have to be from the line of David, because I've made a lot of promises to the Hebrew children, so that's a done thing. It's got to be from the line of David. And I imagine he might have said something like, and they're going to have to be just and righteous people. That's a must. Just and righteous from the line of David. And then I imagined the Holy Spirit leaning in with his two cents, thinking, and they need to be people of worship. Because when I come and speak through the angel to them, they're going to need to be able to recognize my voice. And they'll know that it is God speaking. And they'll be willing participants, because they have to be willing participants. And then I can imagine the Logos, the living Word, putting in his two cents, thinking, well, I'd like them to be gentle and kind. I mean, after all, they're going to be my parents. So I'd like gentle and kind. And they're going to have to be people of great courage, because they're going to have to go through a lot as my parents. And then I can imagine the three of them thinking about Mary in particular and thinking, and she's going to need to be a virgin, because the Word of God cannot come clothed into the world in an impure vessel. So she'll need to be a virgin. So with this criteria in place, then they begin to think a specific people. Now, this is my imagination, and I certainly do not mean any disrespect to Mary or Joseph. But in my imagination, they had a list. I mean, because knowing humans as they knew humans, and knowing that humans had free will, and having seen humans in action and realizing that they needed a Savior, they might think, well, let's consider the possibilities, because, you know, when we make this offer, some choose wisely, and some choose poorly. So I could imagine the Father God just sort of leaning in and stroking his throat and saying, well, I've been giving it a lot of thought. What do you think about a Shobad, Ibhar, Joseph? Joseph is looking pretty good to me. And the spirit might have leaned in and said, I've got my eye on Tamar and Haddai, Mary, and Elizabeth. No, I think I'm going to do something else with Elizabeth. I got plans for her. And so they had their list, and they began to discuss among themselves who they were going to go and visit. Now, granted, this all took place in my imagination. I imagine the Lord was smart enough to have a really short list, if there was a list at all. But then I began to ask the Lord, why? Why, out of all the men in the earth at that time, did you pick Joseph? Well, of course, the first thing that popped into my mind was, well, he was Mary's fiancé, so maybe it was just a package deal. But then I thought, nah, God's not that shallow. And so I began to look at Joseph, and I saw almost immediately as I read the verses what it is the Lord saw in Joseph. And in Matthew 1, verse 19, it is said of Joseph in the Amplified Version, "Her promised husband Joseph, being a just and upright man, and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame and to disgrace her, decided to dismiss and divorce her quietly and secretly. But as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, descendant of David,'" one of the criteria, "'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of, from out of, the Holy Spirit.'" And the very first thing I saw in these scriptures was that Joseph was not a man who was given to responding emotionally to the situation that was thrown his direction. Now you have to think in context of the time. Joseph was fiancéed to this woman, and he expected to marry her, and he believed her to be a woman of character and integrity. And then something happens. She disappears to visit her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months, and she comes back 3 months later, and the girl is pregnant, probably showing. Now, how many of you have actually lived in a small town? I want you to remember that in that day and age, they did not have television, radio, newspaper. Every person in the community was a sworn member of the Journalist League. It was your responsibility, if you had news, to pass it along as quickly and as widely as you could so that everyone stayed in the loop, because after all, we need to stay up to date with the news in the town so that we can make wise decisions on what's going on in our town. Is that not right? Small town, oh my goodness. Once I went to Kmart 30 miles away, and when I got home, my neighbor called me to tell me what I bought at the store. And she wasn't sure the shade went with my bathroom. Small town. Joseph was a man who had dreams. He was a man who had ideals of what was going to happen for he and his bride. And his bride comes back pregnant. And everybody in that town was counting on their fingers. 3 months. Might be, might not be. Can't tell, might not be his. And yet, he didn't respond emotionally. And I can tell you, there are a lot of men who would have just cast her off in anger. Just cast her off in anger. And put their pride up to an elevated state so that they would not be counted unrighteous along with her. But instead, Joseph took time to consider it before the Lord. He took enough time to consider it before the Lord that he went to sleep on the matter. While he was still thinking about it, he went to sleep, and that gave God the opportunity. Because in his sleep, then the angel of the Lord was able to visit him and speak. And in his dream, he heard the Spirit of God, and he knew it was the voice of God. And it was so commanding that when he woke up, he knew it was God, and he acted on it. A really quick side little bunny trail. I cannot tell you how many times I have been concerned about a dilemma and not known what to do with it. And I would say to myself, sleep on it. And if you sleep on it, lots of times you wake up in the middle of the night, maybe not even with a dream, but you wake up and the Spirit of God will just whisper to you. Because your brain is quiet, your body is quiet, and he has an opportunity to talk to you. And that's exactly what happened for Joseph, and he heard it. Joseph didn't respond in a flurry of emotions. He waited to discover what the Lord had to say, and the Lord spoke to him. I can just imagine. Mary must have come home and told Joseph about what had happened to her. She must have. And yet the two of them wisely chose not to give that story to anybody in town. Because you can just imagine that if they had given that story to the people in that small town, not only would they have been judgmental, but they would have thought she was crazy to boot, because that didn't happen. But Joseph chose to be a man of courage, of character, and integrity. And he chose to pull her to his side. He chose to sacrifice the plans he had made for his life and to walk with what the Lord had for him. This is why the Lord chose Joseph. He was a man who was capable of helping the one who was carrying the vision. And I believe I saw this more than anything else about Joseph. Mary carried the vision. Mary carried the hope of all eternity. Joseph just supported the vision. Mary has all kinds of songs written about her and prayers written to her and for her and about her. Joseph didn't get anything. There is no Ave Joseph. He doesn't get any of the hoopla that Mary gets. And yet he was a man who was able to support the vision that God had given to his wife, Mary. And he wasn't a selfish man, because a selfish man would not have been able to just wait for the woman that God had given to him to give birth to a baby and then become her true husband. That's a tough one right there. Honeymoon night, love her, hug her, hold on to her, and patiently wait for the woman that God had given to him. Not selfish. Able to support the vision. And not only that, now, we know that Jesus had a good relationship with the Father God, and we know he had a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. But God in his wisdom knew that he also needed a father, an earthly father, someone that would take him to his side, teach him the trade of carpentry, help him get through all those young years. I mean, we really don't know much about Jesus' early years. We know he was born, and then at age 12, he went to the temple, and he did the thing that dazzled all the people. And then at age 30, he took over his earthly ministry. Well, in those intern years, in those interim years, the Scripture says, and Jesus grew in wisdom, intellectual development. He grew in stature, physical development. He grew in favor with God, spiritual development. And he grew in favor with men, which is social and emotional development. Who do you think helped him through that? His father. His father. It's a holy calling. And I just want to remind the fathers among you that this is a holy calling to help deliver your children from where they are into the destiny that God has created for them. It's a holy calling. And Joseph took it very much to heart. So when you put all of this together, you can see why God chose Joseph. Not just because he happened to be Mary's fiancé, but because he was a perfect, not because he was a perfect man, but because he was upright, he was just, he was not given to pride or selfish responses or emotional reactions, but he was able to support God's working in Mary and the baby's life. He didn't need to be the center of attention. And he was predisposed to hear the voice of God when God called him into this vision. So why Mary? Of all the women in the world, why Mary? not just because she happened to be Joseph's fiance. No, there was more to it than that. And I really think that we see that in Luke 1:28 in the Amplified Version. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before all other women." But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God." And then Mary said, "Behold, I am the handservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said." The key is right there. It's what Father God saw in Mary. Along with the criterion that she had to meet, this is what singled her out and made her special. She wasn't sinless. She wasn't perfect. But God offered her grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And Mary said, "Yes, Lord, let it be unto me as you have said." That was the whole key to Mary's heart. The Lord made her an offer to be part of the destiny, the history and the future of the kingdom of God in the earth. Mary heard it and she said, "Yes, let it be unto me as you have said." I don't want you to miss this now. God came along with grace, free and spontaneous. And who was the one who got it? What did they say? Go ahead, you can say it louder than that. Oh, much louder than that. "Yes, Lord." That's right. "Yes, Lord." He gave it to the one who said, "Yes, Lord." Well, when I was reading these verses, in my imagination, I saw something happen. I saw that the Lord loves to bestow His grace and favor on His people. And in my imagination, His grace, His free, spontaneous, loving kindness took the form of a Christmas sweater. Because I'm a chick. And I remembered a scripture that went like this. It's in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Now, most of us remember that part in the scripture where the devil, like a roaring lion, walks to and fro on the earth looking for who he might devour. Well, he ripped that off. He didn't think that up. God did it first, and God does it better. He is looking for those whose hearts are committed to Him so that He might strengthen them with His grace. And the thing that so captivated me in that scripture, the free, spontaneous, loving kindness of God. Spontaneous and free, nothing earned. And He looks around with His new Christmas sweater, wondering who He might bestow His grace on. Just free, spontaneous, loving kindness. And there He sees little old me in need of some grace. I'm in the middle of a situation. I can't figure out what I need to do. He's given me a task. I need His grace. And here comes God, wandering along, looking down, seeing His servant Marilyn, and He says, "Marilyn, I'd like to give you my grace." And as He comes toward me and starts to give it to me, I say, "Well, I don't know, Lord. I'm not sure if I can accept that, because really, the truth is, last night, you know that sin we've been talking about? Well, I did it again. And so I don't really deserve your grace. I mean, I would love to have your grace, but you know, now that I think about it, I'm actually a little bit ticked at you. Because when I needed the grace, where were you? When I was crying out and crying out, you weren't anywhere around. And I wanted it, but I'm mad. I'm just a little bit mad. I'm not sure I want to talk to you today. I know that you've given me this heavy task to do. And I know that, but I'm just not good enough. I'm not. I know that you've called me. I mean, why would you call me to teach or to preach? I mean, we got Lanny. We got Tim. We got Sam Sola. I know they wear the grace gift, but that's because they're good people and they deserve it. And I just don't deserve it. So I can't take it from you. I can't. Now, we have 1,001 reasons why, when we need His grace. Here's a good one. No, I can do it myself. I can do it myself. I don't need you to, like, I can take it all. I can do it myself. It'll be all right. I'll just use my own wisdom and my own strength and my own, I don't have much of that. And so here I am in need of the grace of God. That free, spontaneous act of loving kindness, and because of whatever excuse happens to be at the top of my mind, I walk away without it. It's not mine. It's not on me. I'm not walking in it. And whatever it is I've been called to do, I'm now out there doing it without His grace. And I don't know how many of you have tried to do something without the grace of God that you've been called to, but you get dry real fast. And I don't know about you, but I get crabby. So then when you're like... and he would know. We don't want to be out there doing it without the grace of God. So we need to get past our stupid excuses. And see it for what it is. A free, spontaneous, act of loving kindness toward us, because He's roaming the earth looking for the face that's looking up with their arms out in an easy way for the Lord to come and slip the grace on. And I know that there are those here today that need the grace of God, because He has called you to difficult tasks. He has called you to a difficult life. Give me your hand. I saw this in the middle of the night. Daggone that Lord of mine woke me up in the middle of the night. Wouldn't let me go back to sleep. And in my mind's eye, I saw Dawn North. Don't cry. You won't make me cry. I cry really easily. I know it's been a bad week. And I guess that's why the Lord showed you to me. Because this woman's been called to some difficult tasks. And yet I know her. She lifts her arms to the Lord. She puts her arms out like this and she says, Lord, come, I need your grace. And the Lord says to you that He has graced you. He has graced you. He puts it on you because it's easy to put it on you. You lift your hands and you let Him slide it right on. And every time you lift your hands, He comes to greet you and to bless you. And to tell you that He has more than enough for you. And that His grace will be there. And that the family of God is there to grace you. I didn't mean to make you come up here and blubber in front of everybody. I didn't know you were going to do that. But the Lord's grace is for you and on you. And this is for you from Him. Now, I wasn't trying to make a spectacle of Dawn, I promise. But she's good-hearted and she knows. She knows the Lord is there to meet her and to sustain her. And He is there for us too. I mean, not just at Christmas time, although it's really nice at Christmas time, isn't it? We think about Him a little different. We have a little bit special viewpoint of Him. But the Father's eyes are ranging, looking. And you know the ones He sees are the ones whose little faces are looking up with an eager look on their face, saying, Lord, here I am. I need your grace. And sometimes He comes and He blesses you in a spiritual way. something that you need. And sometimes He comes and He blesses you in a physical way. And the Lord gave me one more little thing. Somebody donated this to be given out today. And so I wanted to pass it along where the Lord told me to. And it's a little something for Outback Steakhouse for you and your family. Because the Lord has grace for you, Dee. And He knows you needed that this week. Am I right? Just need to know a little extra that the Lord loves you and your youngins. Now those are physical things, and physical things are nice. Especially when it's Jesus saying, I love Dee and her kids. And I know what you're going through this season. But the spiritual things that we need are so much bigger, so much greater. And He's looking for the faces who are looking. And He's looking for those of us who have the body posture that says, slip it on. I'm ready. I just want you to slip it on instead of fighting Him and wiggling. Now, I want you to notice that with Mary, her first response, her very first gut response was fleshly. Her very first response was, she was scared, she was confused, and she didn't know what was going on. Right? Now, I'm assuming one would have that response when an actual angel came and stood before you. I myself have not had that privilege. And I can't say it's something I pray for either. I think I'll be happy to see them when I'm in my spiritual body, and then I can melt in a puddle on the floor and it'll be all right. But we're the same way. Usually, when the Lord calls us to do something or puts us in a situation that's hard or confusing or causes fear, our body responds to that. And I just want you to know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's your spiritual body. That's just the temple you live in, and it's got a mind of its own. But her second response, that's the one that counts. Her second response was, she identified the Spirit of the Lord. And she identified that her God was talking to her through this angel. And she quieted her fears. And she put aside the confusion. And she submitted herself and said, yes, Lord. You know, there's somebody in this church that every time I call them, when we have a specific crisis need in our church, I can get them on the phone, and I could bet, if my daddy used to say, if I was a betting person, we grew up Baptist, so we didn't bet, so he liked to say that. If I was a betting person, I would bet money that this person would say this every time I called them. But I will call and say, we have a need. Pastor needs this. And that person says every time, I serve at the pleasure of the pastor. First response out of their mouth. Don't even wait to hear what I'm asking. They are predisposed to answer, I serve at the pleasure of the pastor. And that's what I saw in Mary. She was predisposed to say yes. She served at the pleasure of the king. She was his handmaid, and if this was his plan, well, you don't really see how it's going to all work out, but okay, I'm your girl. Oh, I have no idea where I am in my notes. So we'll just turn a few pages here. Now, I have yet to meet anyone who has received a vision and a call from the Lord where it was all peaches and cream. Have you? I mean, they get this instruction, or they get this calling, or they get this task. And it's not all peaches and cream, ever. Do you know why that is? Because we're born into a war zone. We are born into war. As believers, we are born into warfare. We have a call, and there is somebody out there dead set against that coming to fruit in our life. And Mary was no different. She was given a call and a vision, and she said yes. And it was not going to be all peaches and cream. She was given, this was her dilemma. The prophecies that she had concerning her little boy didn't always match what she could see happening in his life. And she got some real doozies of promises. I mean, promises made, these are pretty up there, I think. Your son will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David. She was nobody. She came from a family of nothing. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. These are some pretty incredible promises that she was given. In fact, if her son were to actually step out and walk in those prophecies, there was no doubt in her mind that he was going to be set up to be accused by the religious leaders of that time as blasphemous, because you weren't allowed to say these things in their day and age without fear of getting stoned. And I mean with rocks. I heard somebody snort. Who snorted? That's my brother over there. So Mary received a call and a vision, and she said, yes, Lord. But now she's faced with living out the result of her yes, Lord. And it starts almost immediately. Here she is, 9 months pregnant. She has to go to another town for, you know, the government wants to count heads. And here I am now. I'm on a trip. I'm 9 months pregnant, and sure enough, she goes into labor. They can't find anywhere to stay. She ends up in what was probably a cave where they fed the animals, and who knows how fresh the straw was, how it smelled in there, but there was animals, and she ends up putting her baby in a manger, and you can just almost imagine her thinking, Throne of David, this is not what I imagined. You know, at the time when we did the thing and you were, what is this? But our Lord is good. He comforted her. And he did it in the form of witnesses. And I want you to hear this, because this is what we are to one another, witnesses. So God shows up, sends his angels to some shepherds that were abiding on a hillside close by, and they tell the shepherds everything that God had told Mary. And then they sing it. They tell it, and then they sing it, and they have this great big chorus, and you can imagine that that piqued their interest. Wow, this must be some baby. Let's go see it. And so they search, and they find the baby, and they find the mother, and they tell the story. Now, I'm guessing, I don't have this on any biblical authority, but I'm guessing that up until this point, Joseph and Mary hadn't said anything to anybody about the circumstances of her pregnancy or the circumstances of the baby that she was carrying, that it was probably something that just they too knew. And then God sends a host of angels, and they talk to these shepherds, and the shepherds come and they say, you'll never believe what God told us about your baby. And then they begin to tell them. And Mary hears the very words that God told her on the day that he called her. There's no way these shepherds could have known that. No way at all. They probably even used the same words and the same phrases. And that was pretty good. That was sweet. The scripture says, so they went with haste, and by searching found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known what had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it were astounded and marveled at what the shepherds told them. But Mary was keeping within herself all these things, all these sayings, weighing and pondering them in her heart. So he comforted her by speaking to her and the group of shepherds. But that wasn't all. God heaped it on. So in Luke chapter 2, he sends another witness. Chapter 2, verse 25. And now there was a man named Simeon who lived in Jerusalem. And oh, by the way, this was a few days after the birth, and it was by law that they went to the temple. Mary needed to be consecrated after her time of birth, and the baby needed to be dedicated. And so there they were, doing what they were supposed to be doing, where they were supposed to be doing it. And Lord, the Lord had prepared for them another witness. And his name was Simeon, and he lived in Jerusalem, and he was a righteous man and very devout. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he eagerly expected the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And that day the Spirit led him to the temple, so that when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Look, now I can die in peace as you have promised me. I have seen the Savior you have given to all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." And Mary and Joseph were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, "This child will be rejected by many in Israel, and it will be their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy to many others, and thus the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Two witnesses. No way in the world he could have known that, except the Spirit of God told him the very thing she had heard back in the beginning. And just because God is a God of more than enough, he sends a third. Anna, a prophet, who was also there in the temple, and she was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher and was very old. She was a widow, for her husband had died when she had been married only 7 years, and she was now 84 years old. And she never left the temple but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fastings and prayer. And she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. And she talked about Jesus to everyone who had been waiting for the promised king to come and to be the deliverer of Jerusalem. And when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee, where the child grew up healthy and strong. This is important because God does this for us too. Not just for Mary, although she certainly needed it because she had some very interesting circumstances in the job that he gave her. But he does the same thing for us. I cannot tell you the many times when I've been wrestling with the Lord over something, and he will visit me either in the Word or in worship or just in a quiet time, and he will speak something to me that's a promise. But it's just in my own head, in my own heart, in my own spirit. And then somebody who cannot possibly know anything about what's going on in that area of my life will come to me and pray prophetically over me, and they'll use the same words that God gave me. And when I hear that, I am strengthened and encouraged. And usually he'll bring more than one, usually two. And then I'll know out of the mouth of one or two witnesses. The Lord gives us a task. He waits for us to willingly say, "Yes, Lord, I want to serve you. Let me serve at your pleasure." And then he encourages us in a way that we have an anchor to hold on to. Because believe me, when Mary watched her son walk the road with the cross on his back, whipped, reviled, cursed, bloody, you know she had to be struggling in her mind with what she was seeing compared to what she knew in her heart. The Lord had told her about this boy. But Mary had the anchor. She had the words that the Lord had given her. And the Scripture says so many times that she pondered these things in her heart. And that's what the Lord wants us to do too. We are in a war. There are going to be things that come against us when we're trying to carry out what he's asked us to do. But he gives us anchors, words of hope and encouragement. He gives us his grace so that we can walk out in strength the task that he's called us to. And he wants us to hold those things tenderly, gently, like anchors. And let them carry us through the battle, the war, and everything that we see that doesn't add up to what he's told us is his calling for our life. And it will take us through just like it did Mary. just like it did Joseph. You know, we don't have a single record in the Scripture where Mary or Joseph lost it and began to whine and moan and grumble. We just see a picture of grace under fire for both of them. They walked it out. God always fulfills His word. God always fulfills His word in His time and in His way. And I don't know that I've ever had Him fulfill it in the way that it happened in my imagination. And I have a great imagination. But most of the time when He's given me something to do and He graces me to do it, He carries it out in His own way and it's something different altogether than what I imagined it to be. But He's faithful. He is faithful to carry us through. So Mary and Joseph didn't fuss or whine or fume or gripe. They simply took His words to heart and they pondered them and they held on to them and let His promises carry them through. I believe that like Mary and Joseph, we are called to live out our faith in the things that He has given us to do and given us to be. The interesting part of it is, Mary and Joseph were called to a particular task in their time. There was a task that needed to be done that was going to affect all of history. And it was theirs to do, and He gave them grace. And they didn't have the understanding. They didn't have the vision. They don't sit where we sit now and look back to understand how things are going to work out. But we're in the same place. We're still building the kingdom of God. God is still building His kingdom. And although He doesn't need that task done again because it was done right the first time, there are other tasks. And He is looking for Mary and Joseph in our generation. He has other tasks for us, things that need to be done in our generation that we can participate in order to see the kingdom of God come into its own. And so the question today is, are you like Mary? Are you like Joseph? Are you predisposed to say, yes, Lord, let it be unto me as you have said. Because it's the kind of thing that happens in your heart before He asks. A predisposition to say yes. And where does that happen? It happens in relationship with Him. It happens in worship with Him. It happens in the Word when He brings it alive for you. It happens when you let Him wash your souls and your spirits and your minds with His living Word that became flesh. It has power to this day to change us on the inside and to give us that kind of heart that is predisposed to say, yes, Lord, even before you understand how that's going to play out and what it's going to look like and what will the war zone be like on the way to the end. So if you are looking for a New Year's resolution for this year, this is a wonderful one to start with. To pursue a heart like Mary's, to pursue a heart like Joseph, and let Him do inside of you the work that needs to be done so that you are predisposed to say, yes, Lord, let it be unto me as you have said. Would you stand? Worship team, would you go ahead and make your way back to the platform at this time? I just want to remind you, well, we're going to do something a little different today when we close. I've asked the worship team to play a song, a Christmas song, because I just believe it's so good for us to visualize that time and that place and to recognize it for what it was, a real time and a real place. And as we sing this Christmas song, I would like for you to use your imagination and put yourself in the picture. Imagine the Spirit of the Lord hovering over the whole situation and put yourself in a place where you are able to receive His free, spontaneous, loving kindness acts towards you. And I do believe there are people here today who need grace for a specific thing that's going on in your life. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. It's a task, a call, a vision, something that He has put in your life for you to do, and you are just flat out of grace today. He's looking for your faith. Put yourself in a place where you can receive that grace today. Go ahead, Keith.
So
the Lord has spoken to you today specifically that He wants to grace you for whatever it is you're facing. I would like for you to make your way to the front for prayer. Rhonda, would you come up and make yourself available? Patty, would you come up and make yourself available? Peggy? Karen Alvey, would you make yourself available for prayer? Thank you. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Christ the Savior.